Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attended the worship online, this is the 51st lecture on Genesis. In the last session, I talked about the three of the four major rivers that God made on earth. Now, let me talk about the first river, the Euphrates. We've the Euphrates River today as well. The Euphrates starts from the highlands of eastern Turkey and runs through the Syria and Iraq to finally end the Persian Gulf. You see it on a map right now. The Euphrates River flows all the way to the Persian Gulf through Turkey, Syria, and Iraq. It's very close to the third river, the Hiddekel or Tigris, and later the two rivers join. The Tigris and the Euphrates rivers join together and flow into the Gulf of Persia. That's why these two rivers are often called the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers today. Abraham
was born around the Ur, but he moved to Haran, and so by the commandment by the Father God. Euphrates means is the sweet. The taste is sweet.
The Euphrates starts from the highland of eastern Turkey and runs through the Syria. And the Mesopotamians developed with abundance, making use of the good and the fertile land. And there's another meaning why God put a meaning of fluence in the name Euphrates. This area has a lot of oil reserves, which is the most important natural resource today. The oil reserves of the Middle East account for about 80% of the whole world's reserve. The amount of the oil reserve of the Iran and the Iraq are the third and the first in the world, respectively, and those of the Saudi Arabia is number one. Especially Iraq declared in this past October that they found 24% more oil reserve than before. The oil-producing countries in the Middle East earn a lot of money just by selling the oil. Considering all these things, God put the meanings of fluence in the name of the river. But the Bible also prophesied that there will be great war in this area during the 7 years of tribulation because of the abundant oil reserve. Revelations chapter 9, 14 to 15 says, "One saying to the sixth angel who had a trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates, and the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the years were released so that they would kill the third of mankind." Let me explain about the flow of the worldly situation, which is the background of the prophecy.
Today, the world has three major powers, and this trend will be made clear in the future. The first river Pishon is related with the Indus civilization, and the second river Gihon with the Egyptian civilization, and the third and the fourth river with the Mesopotamian civilization. For your information, the Hanwha civilization around the Yellow River of China is also one of the four major ancient civilizations. Anyway, as you look at the four rivers together, you can see that they surround Israel like a circle. God knew where His chosen people, Israel, would be located, and He made the four rivers around it. Those rivers were made by the natural forces during a long period of time. On the other hand, these four rivers were personally placed and created by God in His providence towards Israel. So these four rivers could be the first places of the human civilization, and the Israelites prospered in Egypt, and the Exodus provided the opportunity to become a nation. God is the ruler of Israel. God's law are the law they have to keep, and they are the people chosen by God. So after the Exodus, when they were going to Canaan, God said to Moses, Exodus chapter 19, 5, "The whole earth is mine." This means that this belongs to God. Israel is God's chosen people, but the whole world belongs to the God. If you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, the same goes for other nations. If they obey God's words and keep God's covenant, you will be my own possessions among all peoples. That is, you will become God's kingdom and God's people. You will be my own possession, and you will be to me a kingdom of a priest and a holy nation. Also, the nations will become the first nation. They will become a kingdom of a priest and a first nation and a holy nation. And that these words you shall speak to children of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 38:12 describes the chosen people of Israel as a people who dwell in the midst of the earth. God chose the Israel as a role model for the kingdom of God. And for this purpose, God created four rivers around Israel. I've told you about the significance of each civilization that arose from the four rivers. You can see that God is truly the one who governed human history. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, now let us get to the Genesis chapter 2:15. It says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Adam was made from the dust of the ground, and when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of the life, he became a living spirit. Adam, who was a living spirit, had a spiritual body that never decayed or ages, unlike the physical body of a man. So God let Adam live in the Garden of Eden in the second heaven, not on earth. The Garden of Eden is a spiritual space, and there's no living things die or perish. On the other hand, the earth belongs to the physical world, so living things die of aging and perish to go back to the handful of dust. Therefore, the more suitable place for the living spiritual Adam was the Garden of Eden, rather than this earth. God created Adam on the earth, but then He led him into the Garden of Eden. then God let Adam rule over and subdue not just the Garden of Eden, but also this earth. Genesis chapter 1:28 says, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish and the sea and over the birds of the sky and over everything living things that moves on earth. Here, earth refers to both the Garden of Eden and the earth. Adam lived in the Garden of Eden, but he freely came to the earth to rule over it. So we can imagine how great his power and authority must have been at that time. Just think about the authority of the emperors who rule over the vast area of this empire. Whatever they said became the law, and it was exacted. Not just the people's lives, but even the destiny of the whole city or town was hanging in the decision of the emperor. Was he Nero, the king of Rome? He ordered Rome to be set afire, and it burned down with just one word from the emperor. The magnificent city of Rome was set on fire and burned down. The kings on the earth who rule over some part of the earth had this great authority. So how great Adam's authority must have been. He had the authority to keep and rule over whole earth and the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden is a place that is incredibly wider than the earth. Then how could Adam have such a great authority and power? When Adam was first created, he had a body of the others, but he had no knowledge in his brain. God did not create Adam as a baby, but as an adult. But his brain had no knowledge. So he was like a newborn baby. When children receive the proper education and grow up, they become a human beings. Children have to grow up through the proper education to become a decent person. If they don't do that, they will have a physical deficiency in any area. As the physical deficiency grows, it causes problems. So you must teach them while in the truth and in the Lord. If you do not, they will have physical deficiencies and live difficult lives because of those physical deficiencies. As the child grows up, his or she will cause problems. After God led Adam into the Garden of Eden, he taught Adam with the knowledge of truth and namely spiritual knowledge. Not just God the Father, but also God the Son and God the Holy Spirit taught Adam many things. Especially since the Holy Spirit shows more humanity than divinity, he taught Adam in detail about the heart and the love of Father God. He taught Adam what pleases God the Father, why he created Adam as a living spirit, and how God created him. Also, the Holy Spirit taught Adam that he had to subdue and rule over the first heaven and the Eden of Eden. He taught him how to rule over everything in them. Adam didn't know how to rule, so he had to learn. Other than this, he taught him that God the Father stays in the third heaven or first heaven, and he is pleased with the praises. Now, does this mean God the Trinity went to the Garden of Eden? Just like a tutor would sit with the students, did God the Trinity teach Adam like the tutor? It was not so. The original entity of God the Trinity did not go to the second heaven. It's because in a second heaven, there are also Lucifer and the evil spirits that betrayed and rebelled against God. So even though God the Father sometimes came down to the earth in the first heaven, He did not go to the second heaven. When the creation time of the earth, God the Father came to the earth and came to the earth to meet the Moses. So how did God meet with Adam and teach them? There are paths away and the gates that connect the dwelling place of God the Father and the Garden of Eden. God the Father communicated with Adam through these passageways of the spiritual realm. Even though he did not go to the second heaven, he could talk with Adam as if they were talking face to face. The kingdom of heaven is equipped with everything. As science has developed in this land, we've been able to see things by pulling them out, and we've been able to measure and pull out the long distance using the astronomical telescopes. Today, men have developed the science and the technology. We have video calls and video conferencing. In the spiritual realm, we can see other people or Zach in other dimensions through the spiritual passageways. God the Trinity taught Adam, who was in the Garden of Eden, using these passageways. God gave Adam wisdom, power, and authority to conquer, rule, and govern the first heaven and the second heaven of Eden. This way, Adam had the likeness of God not just in appearance, but also in inner being. He had such a wonderful wisdom to fully utilize the knowledge of the truth that God gave him 100%. Also, in the spiritual realm, sinlessness is a power and authority. Adam had no sin at all at the time, and he received the authority of the light from God. That's why he could keep the Garden of Eden and the earth from the spreads of the darkness. If you too are in the light, like Adam at the time, God can give you great power, the power to rule over the enemy devil, and the power to rule over the enemy devil means to rule over disease, to rule over disease, to rule over all such things. This means that we can prevent the enemy devils from their evil work, break and crush it, and rule over it. As a children of God, we can rule and govern. That means we cannot be harmed. As long as Adam was there, the spirit of darkness cannot trespass into the Garden of Eden or the earth. God gave Eve to Adam to be his wife. God blessed them and told them to multiply and increase the number to fill the earth. We can infer from this verse that Adam and Eve gave birth to the many children in the Garden of Eden. They actually multiplied greatly because there's no disease or death in the Garden of Eden. God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful, rule, and multiply. But what would be like if Adam and Eve had given birth on the earth, a small planet? If they had not eaten the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, they would have lived for countless years. Even if they live on the earth for the thousands of years, the population would have become full of on the earth. If there had been a Garden of Eden on the earth would have been so full of people that there would be no room to stand. Since they live in the earth for thousands or ten of the thousands of years and give birth to the children, and they only grow and do not die. You will learn about the kingdom of heaven and that during the thousands of years, the population of this earth will increase rapidly. Why? Because during the 7-year tribulation, only 1/3 of earth will survive. But during the millennial kingdom, people will not get sick and will quickly multiply and fill this earth. Given this fact, it makes no sense to look for the Garden of Eden on earth. The Garden of Eden is a place where people live forever. But people overlook this fact and do not even think about it and are still searching for Eden, saying it must be somewhere in the Middle East. So the Bible is not properly interpreted and is not only tried to be solved with the human knowledge, so people cannot understand the Bible properly. If you pray fervently and communicate with God, if God, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit lets you know with the inspiration given by God, the fullness, you will be able to get the answers. So their descendant multiplied greatly because in the Garden of Eden, there's no disease or death. Also, from other Bible verse, we can understand that Eve gave birth to children in Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve committed the sin, God said to Eve, Genesis chapter 3:16 says, to the women, He said, I will greatly multiply your pain in children birth. In pain, you will bring birth of children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. Women have to put a lot of effort and hard work when giving birth to a child. Our saints give birth to children without much pain because they received my prayer. However, if you conceive a child and prepare for it with a prayer in advance, you can give birth at the best time with a much less pain. So, preparing to give birth with a prayer is very important. You need to keep praying before the time you give birth. In other words, it's also necessary for the mother to prepare with the prayers. And God said that husband should rule over his wife. Why? Because the women ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge and the good and evil and the sin, and the mankind was cursed. So the women is more responsible. The man, Adam, is also responsible, but the woman, Eve, has a greater sin. So God said that she should desire her husband and that the husband should rule over her. God did not say, from now you will have a pain in childbirth. But He said, I will multiply your pain in childbirth. To multiply the pain in childbirth means that there was a pain in childbirth before this. I will explain to you in more detail later, but when women give birth to children in the Garden of Eden, they have a minor pain. For the baby to come out, the pelvis of the mother has to be widened. Even though they are living spirits, they feel that their bones are widening in labor. But the feeling is almost nothing compared to the pain of the birth giving on the earth. In the past, the pain of a childbirth was so great that sometimes the mother died and the baby survived. Giving birth is so painful, and after putting in all the effort, the mother ends up dying. There's another meaning in the fact that women were to have increased pain in childbirth. I will talk about it again when we get to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve gave birth to many children in the Garden of Eden, and their children continued to give birth to children. In this way, the Garden of Eden was filled with their children. Adam and Eve did not live in the Garden of Eden just for a short period of time. When I was receiving the revelations on the book of the Genesis in 1983 cassette, Adam and Eve live in the Garden of Eden for a longer period of time than you can imagine. But God is also like just a moment. To God, it is a short time. But for man, it was such a long time that we are not able to count the years. Because many people do not realize that fact. They just think Adam and Eve committed sins soon after they were created. If that were true, God wouldn't even have had to make the Garden of Eden as a separate place. Also, it would not have been necessary for God to give such a great authority and the power to Adam. Adam would have lost all his authority and he would have been driven out from the garden as soon as he sinned. But Adam lived an unimaginably long time in the Garden of Eden, giving birth to children. He subdued and ruled over the Garden of Eden and the earth with authority and the wisdom given by God. Does this mean he ruled over such a vast area all by himself? I explained the previous lecture that people in the Garden of Eden also have an organization and a hierarchy. They are divided by the certain size of a unit, and each unit has a leader. Along with these leaders, there were other beings that helped with Adam's reason. I will explain to you who they are and how they helped Adam in the next lecture. I will also explain that Adam did for such a long time while he was living in the Garden of Eden. In this lecture, I explain about the location and the spiritual meaning of the Euphrates. I also explain how God communicated with Adam. God himself planted the knowledge of a truth in Adam using the passageways of the spiritual realm. God the Father wants to communicate with his children and not just with Adam. He wants to teach us about God the Father and about the spiritual realm in the detail. God wants to reveal his heart and will to us. He never wants people to feel frustrated when they read the Bible. He wants people to understand the Bible fully. But there's no one who can do that. There's never been anyone on this earth who can have a relationship with God. It's so unfortunate that there were a few people in the Old Testament, a few people in the New Testament, and there are none today. If they abandon all the sin in the world, cut off the all love of the world, and only do what God says, do not do what He says not to do, keep what He says to keep, and throw away what He says to throw away, and do all these things to thus recover the image of God and become like Him, then God will want to give them everything. To them, God gives them everything, grants them what they pray for, answers them, blesses them, makes them healthy. And and allows them to communicate clearly with God.
God wants to reveal to us about Himself and the spiritual world, but there's no people who are qualified to receive it.
James chapter 1:17 says, "Every good thing is given and every perfect gift in from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variations or shifting shadow."
And anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and receives the forgiveness will receive the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit researches the even deepest things of the Father God.
The Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of the believers, and He speaks to them or inspires them to teach them and the heart and the will of God.
He also let them feel the deep love of God.
To have a clear communication with the Holy Spirit, we must not have any sin. We must be like Adam in the Garden of Eden, without evil.
We have to cast off untruth and the evil from our hearts and recover the image of God.
Then we will receive the spiritual authority and the power from God the Father, just like Adam had.
We will be blessed ones who are guided to the way of the prosperity in all things.
May you quickly cover the image of God and bless with a spiritual authority and the blessing that the children of Almighty God should enjoy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.